to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
Good morning. We have sunshine again. I feel like our forecast is like Arizona, except about 20 degrees cooler. Yeah, just sunny, warm over the next week and a half or so.
Hey, you know what?
Yeah.
When it is 20 degrees cooler and the difference is from 60 to 80 is different than when it's 80 to 100.
Yes.
That triple digit is a heat wave.
Yes,
it is.
It's
a warning. You know, my heart goes out to those people in Texas, though.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. So much going on with Hurricane Beryl. What a weird name, too. Beryl. I haven't heard of that. Yeah, I haven't heard that name yet, but Hurricane Beryl really barreling over Texas. And what I have seen is a lot of folks still out of power, hundreds of thousands, even millions
later,
that they're up a week later.
1 million. Power. Imagine that. Triple-digit heat. And
no power.
And no power. And, you know, one of the things we don't think about is, okay, they're not staying cool, but they don't even have access to food because the food that stays in the refrigerator is now all gone bad. The freezer food is all gone bad.
Yes.
They can't eat that anymore.
And then
if they have electric stove, they can't cook it anymore.
They can't do it. And if they're in the flooding zone areas, which so many of them are in that Houston, Texas area, so many of them are not able to get to where they need to go to get that fresh water. And
the lines are long for gas, for food, for services. So when I saw that recently, I was like, oh my gosh, a week later. And it's, you know, the immediate impact, yes, people brace for it. But then the long consequences come when the rains continue, when the flooding continues, and then the cleanup begins. And the cleanup is hindered by the ongoing rains and flooding. And then the power lines are down. And then, you know, people's homes and their lives have been destroyed because of the storm.
Yes, yes. And the good thing that I've seen, which is encouraging, is so many of the surrounding states have come to help.
Yes.
And do whatever they can. A lot of first responders, a lot of folks doing search and rescue. There is an organization out of Kansas City, Missouri. Mm-hmm. They call themselves Operation Barbecue.
Okay.
And they literally, their job was that they wanted to do was come and help and feed all of those first responders and people, anybody that needed a meal. They were doing 2,000 meals in the morning and at night trying to get food to people and water to people. So watching humanity help one another, that's a good thing.
Yeah. Human beings are social creatures. And as a general rule, I think we all want each other to be well.
Yes.
And when somebody's hurting, we come out to say, how can we help? So with that, your hurt is a little bit less. And I think sometimes we forget that and some things divide us. But as a general, I believe in humanity and in the goodness of people as individuals wanting to better each other every single day. And that's what I see in times of distress.
Yes.
Every single time we've heard of something like this happen, so many have come out and said, let me help. Let me
help. What can I do?
Yeah.
That's been good. You were quoting, almost quoting Anne Frank, who
said,
I really do believe that people are good.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She said that in the midst of everything she was going through.
Yeah.
So our hearts and prayers go out to the folks dealing with Hurricane Beryl and all of those search and rescue. They've lost at least a dozen people so far, and so many they're still looking for.
I know, right? You think about the seasons and you think about the change that it brings. And every coin has two sides.
That's right.
And the summer brings the heat. And, yes, it's warm in some places. And yet it's like torture in others. But grateful for the weather that we have over here. As you were talking about the sunrises in the morning on your drive.
So gorgeous. Gosh. Oh, I have enjoyed that.
Incredible. And after every storm, the sunrises are beautiful. It's like, you know, nature says, clean up, people.
Clean it up and then let me, and then watch this.
Yeah.
Oh, so it has been beautiful. If you get up early like us, then you will know that you get rewarded.
On Saturday morning, yes.
On Saturday morning, yes.
Actually, every workday morning.
Yes, yes. I am up and out the door by 4:15, or well, up at 4:15, out the door by 5. So I get blessed with that beautiful, right now, sunrise. And it's like, oh, yes.
Yeah, no, I will not tell you what time I woke up.
No, I get to sleep in tomorrow. Tomorrow will be my day. Well, the phone calls are already coming in. Wonderful. Let me give you that phone number if you'd like to call. Dr. Samira Umat here. We decided to let Dr. Jerry Mixon have a weekend off. So he is off today. So just myself, I'm Lynette. Good morning. And Dr. Samira Umat here. Here's the phone number to get through with your questions and get into the call queue like some folks have right away. Good job. 206-421-5757. We're headed to Des Moines. We have Don on the line. Good morning, Don. How can we help you?
Good morning, Don.
Hi, lady. Good morning. I spoke to you earlier regarding quercetin.
Yes.
And the frequency.
Right, right. Great questions, Don. So let me kind of go back to the new listeners on this show and those that don't know what we were talking about in the background in our conversation a little bit, Don, if that's okay with you.
Yeah,
we
that's
talked.
Fine.
Okay, so we started our discussion about senescent cell therapies. So for those of you who don't know what that is, as we get older, our cell functions kind of become sluggish. Our cells become older. And when we are younger, the body's ability to remove older cells and allow new, more youthful cells to perform appropriate function is much better than as we get older. But the older cells, as we call them, zombie cells, quote unquote, become more prevalent as we get older. And these older senescent cells don't die. They just hang around. And in the past, we used to think that they are not dangerous and they don't cause any damage. But over time, we've realized that as these zombie cells continue to increase, they are basically exuding toxic material in their environment and preventing normal cells from performing their normal function. And as the volume of these older senescent cells increase as we get older, they inhibit normal cellular functions. And so they impair in our ability to function, heal, and repair, and to grow new regenerative tissues. So Mayo Clinic published an article a few years ago about senescent cell therapies, which is adopted by age management clinics across the country, where we use these the protocol to reduce the load of these zombie cells. And as the zombie cell load decreases, it allows more youthful cells to perform their function. So our patients notice different things. If pain was the limiting factor, they'll notice an improvement in their pain. If range of motion was a limiting factor, they'll notice an improvement in that. If it was cognitive abilities, we ask them to report whether there was an improvement or not. And what we've done over the course of time is offer these therapies as published by the Mayo Clinic for a period of 9 days as the initial set of treatments. And with that, with the medication that they use, they also use high doses of quercetin. Now, quercetin is an anti-inflammatory and also helps in reducing allergies. And so I have used quercetin independent of the senescent cell therapies, but we use them combined when we are doing the senescent cell therapy program. So the initial protocol that was published by Mayo was for a 9-day protocol over a 3-week period. The problem after that publication is that we don't know how frequently the protocol should be repeated and whether it should be the same protocol or a slightly milder protocol or a lower dose protocol. And different providers and different clinics have talked about different things. And some use a 3-day protocol. Some will use a repeat of a 9-day protocol. But whatever you're using, we don't really have any published guidelines for that. And sometimes we just go by what the patient is experiencing in symptom relief. We do have some people that will repeat the 9-day protocol twice a year, and then we have some people that will do the 9-day protocol once and then repeat a 3-day or a 5-day program frequently throughout the year, either every 2 months or every 3 months or even every 6 months or even maybe just once a year. That all depends upon them individually because we don't have any guidelines and your provider. You have to have the conversation with your provider about what you're experiencing. There is no definitive lab that we can look at and say, oh my gosh, your senescent cell load is increasing because this test is showing this, and therefore now it's time to do your therapy. But we do a whole host of labs, which includes your basic metabolic panel, your blood counts, your inflammation markers, to give us some guideline of whether it's okay to give you the treatment now or not. And so in our clinics, your doctor and you will determine when it is time to repeat the therapy and which form of therapy to repeat for you. And with every time you repeat it, you're using high doses of quercetin. And quercetin is very good to prevent allergies. And so even before we started using the senescent cell therapy programs, I used to use quercetin quite liberally in my patients, and some of them actually use it year-round. Sometimes if there are no allergens, I will reduce the frequency to one a day. And sometimes if there is an aggravation of their symptoms, I will increase the frequency to twice a day. And then occasionally I'll give them a break and tell them not to use it at all for a period of time until it's necessary to go back on it. Okay? So I use it based on individuals. That's how I personalize the program, based on what I'm hearing my patient tell me. Does that help, Don?
Very much. I have a related question regarding DMSO cream.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with that?
Absolutely, Anne.
What's your view on that, and could you elaborate upon it?
Okay. So Lynette's telling me we're going to break.
Yes.
So why don't I come back from the break? So you hang on and let's talk about DMSO. Okay.
Yep. Stay right there, Don. We'll be back to talk more about that on Leading Edge Medicine. If you have a question and you'd like to get through to Dr. Umat, here's that number. It's 206-421-5757. That's 206-421-5757. We'll be right back with more Leading Edge Medicine.
Crazy. I'm crazy for feeling so lonely. I'm crazy.
Ah, Patsy Cline.
Crazy.
Good morning. You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine. I'm Lynette, along with Dr. Samira Umat. Dr. Jerry Mixon is off this weekend. We have Don on the line, and he had another question. Don, what was your question?
DMSO.
Okay.
DMSO, correct.
Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, I'll tell you a funny story about DMSO later, but DMSO is definitely very useful. It is a solvent, dimethyl sulfate oxide, DMSO, and we use it in our practice to apply over the creams, especially the testosterone. Do not apply to genitals, please, but on other surface areas of the body. You can use it to help improve absorption of your cream. So if your prescriber is giving you adequate amounts of testosterone cream and you are applying it religiously, but you're feeling that it is not penetrating, sometimes the skin gives us problem because it gets accustomed to the base and will change the base of the cream. But then when we run into problems with transdermal application and skin resistance in absorption, we use DMSO over the cream because it helps in penetration and absorption. You do have to be careful because if you apply something else on that area, it'll help penetrate that too. It doesn't know the difference between your cream and something else. So you want to be very careful about it. And and it works. I see the difference in the levels immediately without changing the doses when the patients start using DMSO cream. And then I remember the first time I was telling one of my patients, and I learned something from my patients all day long, and I said, do you know what DMSO is? And she goes, yeah, of course I do. And I said, well, how do you know what it is? Why have you? She said, I have some at home. I said, why? And she goes, well, I use it for the shoulder. Every time the shoulder hurts, I put a little bit on it. And I didn't know this. I didn't know that people used DMSO or other solvents like this for pain.
Wow.
They've used it as a pain reliever.
To actually do something, not just to help penetrate.
Wow. So I learned that from my patient, which was like, okay. And I looked it up, and sure enough. But we use it in our practice for basically helping improve penetration. And so just be careful about not applying it to genitals. Now, the other side effect that you can experience with DMSO is a garlic odor. Mm. You can have a garlic odor if you're using a lot of DMSO. So you'll find a lot of pharmacies or wherever you're buying it, even on Amazon, they mask that with using things like rose or some other fragrance.
Oh, so you can have a rosy garlic.
Yeah, rose garlic odor.
Rosy garlic odor.
You might need to mask it if it's a problem. I don't really see any other problem with it. I have had patients that have had to discontinue its use because of that. So just be careful with it. But I do find it useful if it's becoming hard to penetrate the active ingredient in what I'm trying to give my patient through the skin.
Okay, that's good.
Can I give you a shout out to Beth at Bella Medica? I've been seeing her for a year. The results have been outstanding.
And oh, yes, I love Beth.
That's people I know telling me this. Dom, whatever you're doing, you're doing great.
All right. Do you want to tell us what you're doing?
Yes.
Or not really? Sorry, I had to put you in the spot.
I've done probably 5 different procedures. I just finished up a relatively new one.
The PRX? The PRX?
The PRX.
All right. Don, thank you so much.
I've seen you at Bella Medica, too. So I've interacted with you a little bit.
All right. Well, next time, interact a little bit more. Stop me and say hello.
Yes. Say, I'm Dawn. Okay, I call in on the radio show.
Yeah. Actually, I do remember you. I do remember. I think Dan started saying your name when you were in the office one day. So,
Well, one day I was there and your husband was there. We were talking about the Huskies.
Okay.
He loves that topic.
Yes, we do support our Huskies. My entire family, excluding me, are Huskies.
Okay.
So, yes.
There you go.
Yeah. Do you watch the football games?
I really appreciate it.
All right.
All right, Don. Thank you so much for your call. So appreciate you.
Okay.
And it's just so nice and heartwarming to hear good stories. We're here to help. And, you know, as people notice the changes, it is just nice to hear what they went through because it reinforces everything that we do. You know, not everybody gets the same results, but we're obviously working so hard. And then, you know, as Don mentioned, people start feeling better on the inside, they want to do more on the surface.
Yes.
The surface is what the world sees. And when they start seeing a pep in your step and then you start looking it too, that's incredibly amazing. Dr. Mixon started Bella Medica a long, long time ago. It was still in existence when I joined, and I've been here 14 years ago. Over the years, though, we've transitioned things a lot. And then he went ahead and bought lots of new laser machines that are doing amazing work. Mm-hmm. And Beth and Rima are amazing young ladies that work in that department. And just hats off to them for their knowledge and their experience and their ability to still, you know, look outside of the photo. Remember, that's what we do. We're on the leading edge looking for newer things. And what Don mentioned in the PRX therapy is a brand new treatment that is being offered through Bella Medica. Again, we offer multiple services in aesthetics, including facials and hydrofacials, but we also do hair restoration, laser hair removal, tattoo removal, facial rejuvenation, collagen stimulation, skin tightening, skin brightening. And we can talk about some of them if you want today. But PRX basically is like a chemical peel. You do 4 treatments 1 week apart, and it helps slough off the dead cells on the face and neck, and then it rejuvenates it with newer, younger cells without any downtime. And your skin basically looks like it has a shine on it, and you don't need any extra product or any laser treatment. There's no surgery, no surgical product,
wow.
No downtime. It helps reduce fine lines and a little bit of pigment, and it gives that new glow, a rejuvenated look on the face. So I'm very fond of it. The girls are amazing at offering that. And then the latest thing that they've added recently is exosome therapy.
Mm, okay.
So exosomes are byproducts of stem cells. And in the past, we used to think that exosomes don't perform any useful function. But over time, we have realized that they're actually very valuable in helping regeneration, so collagen formation on the face, especially for stimulating collagen formation. And the girls are using it with microneedling.
Oh, okay.
So we purchased the exosome, and it comes with hyaluronic acid, and it comes with other serum that is useful for the skin. And the girls will do microneedling, and they use a skin pen for that. So with microneedling, what they're doing is creating microtrauma, and then immediately after that treatment, they put the exosomes with the serum and hyaluronic acid on the skin surface, and it is basically absorbed through the channels, and it goes in to do function. And because they've done the microneedling, they've improved vascular supply, so more growth factors are growing to that area to help improve your skin to heal in that area. And then they put in exosomes in there, so the blood vessels will absorb this, and they'll actually help in healing and rejuvenation and help with collagen stimulation on the face and neck and décolleté. So I've seen some before and after pictures, and the girls are taking some on their patients as they're starting to provide this service. But if you haven't heard of this, it is brand new. You may not have. Do come in and ask them to tell you more about the exosomes, because it is really wonderful addition to their current services at Bella Medica. Again, no laser therapy and no downtime. And,
wow.
And with that, you can choose as many treatments as you want. And it's really, you can walk out and go to whatever you need to do.
Can you put makeup back on?
Absolutely.
And then go to a party
you
right
can.
Afterward. And no one would know except Nobody you have that know. Glow. And
That's
it's
right.
like, ooh.
That's right. And there are many options you can do with that. You know, if you want to use the exosomes alone, you can with the microneedling. If you wanted to do PRP, you can do add that. PRP is the you know, the vampire facelift.
Oh, yes.
So you can add your PRP to it. So there's lots of permutations and combinations. So the best thing is to talk to your master esthetician and to have her help you come up with what is the best for your skin.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, if it's good for Lynette, it may not be good for you. So you choose what is right for you. But my goodness, they have a lot of services they can offer. And both the girls are really incredible.
Oh, yes. Rima and Beth.
Yes, Rima and Beth.
Very good. Hey, we are going to take a quick break here. We will be back with another Dawn, and we're going to talk about AFib in just a moment. If you have a question for Dr. Umat today, Dr. Umat is here. We are live in our brand new studio, which is looking better and better all the time. We got furniture and a table in and new lighting. And boy, do I have the electronic, all the toys and cameras and microphones. I'm very excited to get my hands on. Yes, you'll be able to see us here in a few weeks. How fun is that? We'll be back with more Leading Edge Medicine. If you'd like to get through on our phone lines, our phone calls, our phone is available right now for you. 206-421-5757. That's 206-421-5757. Our call center is ready to take your call. We'll be right back in just a moment.
Touching hands, reaching out, touching me, touching you.
And we're back. Welcome to Leading Edge Medicine. I'm Lynette here along with Dr. Samiri Umat. Dr. Mixon has the weekend off, so we are here along with Neil Diamond, of course, and talking with you and taking your phone calls.
Don't tell Dr. Mixon
I
that.
Won't
you
tell
him.
Him
with Neil Diamond.
No, no. Let's see. I would probably go with John Bon Jovi, too. There you go.
Gosh.
Oh, boy. I got a nice long list. Here's the number to get through for Leading Edge Medicine. It's 206-421-5757. That's 206-421-5757 with your questions. We're headed to Bothell now. We have Don on the line for Dr. UMAT. Good morning, Don.
Morning. Thank
Hello,
you
Don.
Very much for taking my call.
Of course.
Yes.
Good morning to you.
Last year when I was in the hospital, they did an EKG or something like that on me and found I had AFib that one time. After I got out of the hospital, they put me on a 7-day monitor and didn't find any. But my oncologist says, you know, I have two choices. I can either stay on Eliquis the rest of my life, or I can get a Watchman put in me. And so that's my question, is the Watchman. Do you know how effective it is?
Yeah, that's a great question, Don. So my first question to you actually is, do you have AFib or don't you have AFib?
Well, the 7-day did not find any. So I've tachycardia or something like that, but it didn't find any AFib. But he's given me that.
Okay.
There's two choices, and that's it.
Interesting. Okay. All right. So let's talk a little bit about this. So AFib, atrial fibrillation, for the listeners who don't know, this is basically an abnormal rhythm of the heart. The heart has two upper chambers called the atrium and two lower chambers called the ventricles. The atria contract first, the ventricles contract second. They have to be synchronous with each other to allow blood to enter and leave the heart efficiently and effectively without causing blood clots or a risk for stroke. When the heart rhythm is abnormal, it can be too low and slow. That is a problem that's called bradycardia. And if it is too high, it is a problem that's called tachycardia. There are various stages of tachycardia, and they can either affect the atria or the ventricles. And if you have ventricular tachycardia, it really predisposes you to a heart attack and is a dangerous rhythm. These rhythms are controlled by a node in the heart that controls the electrical activity of the heart. And things can go wrong at any time. Unfortunately, as we get older, we are more at risk for these problems. Atrial fibrillation means that the atria, the upper two chambers of the heart, are contracting at a asynchronous rhythm with the ventricles, and they are basically contracting ineffectively and inefficiently. But what that does is it allows blood to pool in certain parts of the heart, which can then form a blood clot and can then throw that blood clot into the bloodstream. And that blood clot will then lodge in the narrowest blood vessel, and often that is in the brain, and it causes a stroke. Oh. So atrial fibrillation is a risk factor for stroke. Now, there are various grades of atrial fibrillation, and some people are significantly impacted by them. It affects their ability to breathe, walk, even short distances. They can feel the heart beating, and it can be quite uncomfortable. And there are some that you may be in AFib and not even know it, and so they have to find out if you're at risk. So what happened to Don was that he had a recorded episode while he was admitted, and then they do the Holter monitor, which is a 7-day monitor that you wear at home, and they read the rhythm. They ask you to give them some prompts and to tell them if you notice a rhythm problem in your heart. And if you do that, they will look at that specific time to see on the EKG reading whether the heart was beating normally or not.
Okay.
So there are specific changes for AFib that they look for in the EKG. And if they do find that, whether you're symptomatic or not, a blood thinner is a good idea to reduce your risk for stroke. There are some other treatments, and if you are at risk for hemorrhagic stroke, a bleeding, if you use a blood thinner, because a blood thinner will increase the likelihood of a bleed. And if you are in an accident or you have a bleed, and the blood thinner will prevent the blood clotting, and then you can have, you know, the opposite, which is a bleeding stroke, a hemorrhagic stroke, which is actually even more dangerous. And so the question is, which is worse, the cause or the effect? And then if AFib is increasing risk for stroke, then yes, you need a blood thinner. We know a blood thinner also increases the risk for a bleed. So you have to weigh those risk factors very carefully for your patient and know their individual history and their individual risk. So if you have other comorbidities, like if you're diabetic or if you have high blood pressure, these will play into what treatment you are offered. But the Watchman device, you know, the other treatments are cardiac ablation and so on and so forth, and some people respond very well to it, and they can come off of the blood thinner if the cardiac ablation succeeds. And the Watchman is one such form of cardiac ablation, but it's very specific in that they put literally like a parachute type of a device into the left atrial appendage. So, you know, if there are outpouchings in the heart that are areas where the blood can collect that increases your risk for a stroke, then the Watchman device is a good device for you. So if your cardiologist is recommending it, either you have something like that, and therefore he knows that you'll benefit from it because you'll be able to come off of the blood thinner, or you have another risk factor for being on the blood thinner, and to take you off of that to reduce your risk of the medication, he's suggesting that you go through the Watchman procedure. In good hands, like everything else, the success is very high, and there's very little downtime, and the vast majority of people do well. There are published articles to support the use of this procedure, and a lot of people do really well and are grateful that they don't have to take the drug.
That's a lot of information, Dr. Umat. Was that helpful for you, Don? You probably had heard some of that with your doctor, but Dr. Umat explains it so beautifully, and it's like,
is there any danger while they're installing the Watchman? Is that a dangerous
thing? Oh, good question.
Yeah. And, Don, these are very good questions. You know, every procedure carries a risk. Even when I do a Botox injection on a patient, I tell them, I'm putting a needle in you. There is a risk that you might have a blood clot, you might have some bruising, you know, there can be an infection. So every procedure causes has some risk. You know, when I had my LASIK surgery done, just before the procedure, when I met the ophthalmologist, and before I signed the consent, he's telling me that I could go blind with the procedure, and he's making me sign the consent. And I had to stop for just a second and say, okay, but I'm signing it.
Yes, yes.
So, Don, unfortunately, it isn't risk-free, but the risk is minimal. And in experienced hands, it should be okay. You know, and again, I don't know your whole history, so I'm just on the radio listening to the problem. Most physicians would be able to get you through this procedure without any significant complications and get you to a better place.
Good. Okay. Well, I think you've helped me make up my mind.
Okay. How old are you, Don?
An 80.
Okay. And how long, you said you were last year admitted to the hospital. That's when they first picked up the AFib.
Yes.
Okay.
That was July 21st. I had a leg infection that infected my blood and my muscles and stuff. And
okay.
I was sent to a nursing home and put on IV antibiotics three times a day for couple of weeks and all that. And so somewhere in there they caught the AFib.
I see.
And then when I got out of there, then they put the monitor on me and didn't find any.
Okay. Okay, and it's good that they didn't find any, you got lucky, but given that you were so sick requiring IV antibiotic therapies, you know, it's better if you can get away with a procedure that won't put you at risk for a and that will do a procedure that will allow them to discontinue a medication that might increase your risk for a bleed.
Yeah, well, my arms are full of red spots because of it.
Oh, they are. Okay. So it's already causing you some side effects.
Yes. Minor, but nevertheless, they're scary.
Of course they are. And, you know, if you see them and then, you know, if you were to fall or hurt yourself, then the risk for bleeding is higher for you, Don. So just listening to what you have told me, and again, they will do a full evaluation. They will have to clear you for this procedure. So the internist will come by and they'll clear you. And if everything is okay and they recommend it, I would suggest go for it. That way you can come off of the drug.
All right. Thank you, Don, for the call.
Good luck to you, Don.
Yes, absolutely. Our phone lines are open for you with your questions. Go ahead and give us a call. Be part of the show. Don't wait until the very end of the show. Here is the number to get through today. We are live in the studio with Dr. Samira Umat. Here's the number. It's 206-421-5757. That's 206-421-5757. We'll be back with more Leading Edge Medicine in just a moment. Oh, we're back with Leading Edge Medicine. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. We appreciate you. We're here live every Saturday morning, and we're glad that you're here, too. Here's the number to get through with your questions today. Dr. Umat is here. Dr. Mixon has a weekend off. Here's the number. It's 206-421-5757. Okay, Dr. Umat, we are taking a road trip to Olympia.
Ooh, it's hot there.
Yes, it is, and we have Shirley on the line. Good morning, Shirley.
Hello, Shirley.
Oh, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. See, I just wanted to ask for a little more information. You were talking to the gentleman about AFib.
Yes.
And it sounded like my story.
Kind of in the
same boat, probably not as sick, although I was in the hospital overnight. My pulse and blood pressure wouldn't calm down, but we got that taken care of. And one of the things my heart doctor is recommending is to have a cardioversion.
Yes.
So I was wondering a little bit about that. Is it safe? Does it help? Is that a good thing to do? I'm kind of leery about it.
Okay.
But,
great question. In fact, Lynette and I were talking about it on the break.
Yeah.
So Shirley, tell us a little bit about your story. How old are you and what happened to you? Do you have AFib?
Well, that's what the doctor is saying.
Okay.
It was probably about 6 weeks ago. I got up one morning and just had this big whoosh of tiredness. Not real dizzy, but just kind of, real tired all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
And so just in trying to figure that out, I went to the ER mm-hmm. a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
And the doctor came back and said he thought it was AFib.
Okay.
So gave me kind of, I think, the standard medication, Eliquis,
right.
Digoxin,
yeah,
and
yeah.
Metoprolol.
Right.
So I've been taking those for a little while.
Yeah.
And finally got in to see my heart doctor.
Okay.
And I kind of had a regular pulse for a while. And she's now recommending the cardioversion to see if that might help.
Okay.
Yeah,
so you said you do have a heart doctor. So do you have any underlying heart problem? Do you have hypertension or hyperlipidemia or congestive heart failure? Do you have anything?
Well, I do have high blood pressure. Mm-hmm. I've been taking medication, though, for a while. So, and it's been okay, you know, a pinch high, but, not horrible.
Okay.
But this kind of came on suddenly, so yeah, and I guess I'm kind of wondering if it's actually AFib or something else, or I wouldn't mind getting off the medications.
Okay.
Because I kind of understand some of the side effects, but
right.
I didn't know if the cardio version would help. You know, is it safe? And
yeah, absolutely. And these are great questions. So they added three new medications for you because of this. So, you know, the risk for a stroke is very high if you have atrial fibrillation. And then if you already have high blood pressure, then that is another risk factor to consider in the equation. And because you were quite affected by the initial symptom, and the medication will control it, but the medications, like they put you on digoxin and a beta blocker and a blood thinner, now they also carry side effects. So the beta blocker, the metoprolol, causes a lot of fatigue in and of itself, and it slows your heart rate down. And an easy way to come out of this is if they can kind of shock the heart into normal sinus rhythm again. So the sinoatrial node controls the rate at which the atria contract, and something goes awry, and in atrial fibrillation, the atria basically contract like a group of worms, you know. They're not effective. They're just ineffective in being able to push the blood out into the ventricles and for the ventricles to push it out into the rest of the body. And so if they did a Holter monitor for you, which is what the other gentleman had, which is a very common study, they basically send you home with a device that you keep on you for a week, some even a little bit longer. And they look to see how frequently you get these episodes. So have they done that for you?
Well, I've done two of those in the past.
Uh-huh.
Not recently, but it was something about PVCs.
Yes.
I guess it was pretty high.
I see.
So, and then this episode just came up about 6 weeks ago.
Suddenly. Okay. So PVCs are premature ventricular contractions. So the rhythm goes abnormal suddenly, and the ventricles, which basically control the heart rate, are beating in more frequently, and they are sending out little bursts of blood that can increase the risk for a stroke. And eventually the risk is that PVCs may lead into ventricular tachycardia. Generally, PVCs are completely benign. If they occur infrequently, they don't, you know, numbers are not large, they are completely benign and people just watch them. But if you now have AFib and you've had PVCs and you said large number, then the risk for you is a little bit higher. And so cardioversion is not that dangerous. People get scared about a procedure, but it is basically just shocking the heart to go into normal sinus rhythm. And if it works, and many times it does, then you can come out of AFib and stay out of AFib, and you can possibly come off of the medications.
Okay.
Okay. It's an outpatient procedure. They don't need to admit you, and they do it in a controlled environment, and then they see if you can come off, if they can shock the heart, basically going to go back into normal sinus rhythm. And if they can, then the possibility of you getting off of the drugs is high. And, you know, the more medications you take, the higher the risk of side effects of those medications. In as we get older, and there's one common teaching tool in geriatric medicine, and geriatricians will tell residents, this is the first thing I learned from my geriatrician when I was in residency, was that the first, second, and third cause of illness in an older patient is medication, medication, and medication.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And so how we treat our older people, what dose we use for them is very different than a younger patient. And so we should, pay attention to that. And, okay. you know, be careful with that. So if you can potentially avoid it, I hear the side effects of drugs all the time. So if you can potentially avoid using three extra medications, and if the cardioversion works for you, and you're healthy enough and cleared for it, I would certainly suggest that you go ahead and give it a try. Talk to your doctor, make sure that you are aware and that they know your concerns. But I would certainly recommend it. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay, great. Yeah, as I said, kind of like to get off of them. And I understand some of the side effects, especially the bleeding.
Yes.
So that, you know, that's a concern.
That's right. And I have seen patients that have had GI bleeds from Eliquis. And you heard the gentleman that called earlier in the morning with having bruises all over his body. Now, say, you know, unfortunate things happen to people. This is a reality of life. If you are involved in an accident or if you do fall and you break something, then that medication is a risk for you. It will increase the likelihood for a bleed. Yes, it's life-saving because it will prevent the stroke. But it also has side effects. And if there is another way that you could potentially bring your heart back into rhythm and not have to take the medication and it doesn't have as much side effect, I would definitely say try it.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Okay. Well, I will, Good that. Consider that. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome and good luck to you, my dear.
Yes, thank you for the call, Shirley. We are going to head over to beautiful Camino Island. David is on the line with a question for us. Hi there, David. We may get your question and then take a quick break and then come back and talk about it.
Hello, David.
Good morning.
Good morning. My question is, I'm 80 years old. 4 years ago, I had a PSA test of 22. I've been treated for prostate cancer, and I received a shot that basically shut off my testosterone. But I've had the X-ray and SEEDS treatment, and now my PSA test is less than 0.1. But I really miss the testosterone. Is there any hope?
All right. Great question, David. We're going to take a quick break. Hang with us. And then Dr. Umat will be, she's looking already on the computer, and she will be back to talk with you in just a moment as Leading Edge Medicine continues. Thank you for listening. And if you'd like to call in with your questions, here's the number. It's 206-421-5757. That's 206-421-5757. 421-5757. You can call on now and be in the call queue. David, hang on the line. We'll be right back.